settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical, paranormal, and spiritual information show that's designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. On today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and today we are going to be talking about structures of the universe, and actually this is part three. So if you'd like to join us with a question to Gregory about our subject today, and the number to call is 877-876-5227 in the USA. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756, and they are a toll-free number. The international number isn't toll-free, but it's only a quick call, and it's 001-530-876-3222, and we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7, and every Thursday at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, perhaps get a book or order a CD, or you can have an Akashic reading, or even actually go to any of our large and extensive merchandising sections now that we've just opened up. Please do go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. And you'll see the links, by the way, to our new merchandising store anywhere on the site. Okay, as Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, and each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my physical body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back again when the spirit communicator leaves. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either, because it's not actually necessary for anyone to remember in this situation where it is they've been. Because if it was something that was figured very heavily in my mind, it might actually disturb the mechanism that allows me to leave my physical body in the first place. And we wouldn't want anything to upset that situation. Anyway, without any other words from me, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie and just really say have a great show.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yes, Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. They consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people, and between them they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraints of our human mind. Subject matter we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, is limitless and will hopefully help you become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. Our mission is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And I'd just like to recap actually a bit on what Nick said before he went off about the merchandise that we've got. We had so many people asking for posters and pictures of Gregory and that sort of thing, memorabilia, and emailing us and saying that they downloaded his picture off the website and they found that if they meditated with the picture in mind, then they were able to form a better connection somehow. And we're not saying that he's some guru or icon, but the thing is, if this helps you to connect And then that's absolutely fine with us. So we thought, well, we were going to be bringing out a line of merchandise anyway, a shop where you could buy T-shirts, mugs, baseball caps, whatever, loads and loads of things, posters, pictures, that sort of thing. So at the moment, I think mainly we've got out Gregory accessories, shall we say. So there's even a little meditation pillow there with his face on. So do have a look on www.spirit-teaching.com. And to follow these will be lots of other wonderful prose and verse of Gregory's, and also Silver Fox, who you haven't, I don't think we've actually had on air yet, but he's a native that Mick channels as well. So some lovely poetry and that sort of thing. So do take a look. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us now. Hello, Gregory.
Good luck and light and blessings be upon your pathway, my dear friend.
Mm-hmm. So, structures of the universe. I think you can take it away today, and rather than me jumping in at an area that I think that we should begin at, I think if you'd like to start off, and then we'll take it from there.
Very well then. Humanity's perception of who they are and why they are is limited by the extent of the human physical mind and its ability to think outside of the restraint that others place upon it. This means to say, friends, that if you actually wish to think outside of the constraint of your mind, then it may well be that you inherit certain vagrancies to do with the structures of the universe. This may be, of course, coming into the shape and form of other entities from other worlds, no doubt, and also, of course, to do with your own effect of perhaps your perception of what your world is, or even maybe as to what you think that aspect of the eternal life is, God. You may actually presume that all of the situations and current events of your human physical life lead you back to that one vestige of interest, which is that you are becoming a part once again of that which is God, or that which you aspire God to be. When you think in terms of the constraints, or perhaps the ways in which others before you in ancestry have thought and have modeled and made up their minds to do with their life journey and their experience, they may well have a presumption about the facts and artifacts of what God is, because religion and those well-tainted beliefs actually bring you along the specific roadway that allows you to either accept or reject information outside of those indoctrinations. If you look at your world with a scientific approach to life, a very factual, evidential approach, you may be forgiven to missing the point here, that for many beings it will be that they will rely heavily upon religious understanding or belief system, which is not necessarily followed up by actual factual evidence. The situation will be, therefore, that many people will try to make things fit in an ordered way. They may then be able to comprehend universal thinking or their even place within the universal state. Therefore, it will be, friend, that even if you, as a being, do not hold to one specific religious form, you may still bless the saints. You may still bless all of the revered people that had once apparently walked upon the earth plane, long stretching long into your ancestry, and herald them maybe even in forms of mistaken faith and identity, saying perhaps that their lives were something dressed up far beyond that which they in fact were. How many times have we heard it said, for many peoples on the earth plane, and many peoples too in the spirit world, lauding the appraisal of great pharaohs or perhaps Roman emperors or emperors of this or that country, when in actual fact, if you had actually lived in those times, you might have found it less than tasteful and most certainly barbarous in its content, in the way in which people actually behave to one another. And most certainly, it could be said that many a leader and emperor and saint had drawn their swords in blood, had taken another life, vengeful, been at the worst enemy of that which is love, exuding pure hatred. When you look at facts of the universe, you need to look at it without the embellishments of religious quotation and exercising the understanding which have so far tainted the very aspects of the true mechanics of universal structure. If you really want, as a course of your identity, to try to understand the ramifications and mechanics of the structural universe and what that actually means to you, you may really truthfully come to understand that the journey of the spirit is one which has taken millions of years to evolve for every single one of you, and millions of years in terms of Earth cycle around the soul planet, the soul sun. It will take millions and millions of years still again for you to come to that blissful state of purity and know that blissful state of purity, to once again not melt with God, because you are already. You cannot possibly be in a structure and state and say, I am trying to get to become better, I am trying to become more loving, because that is where I aspire God to be. How do you really know that? How do you really seek that which it must be? Surely, purely, God must be all love. For God, otherwise, would not allow the dissemination of barbarism upon the planet, would not allow murder, mayhem, the situations of physical life. But in truth it be that if you look at this whole situation with a logical scientific mind, yes, but also with a factual expertise as well, not to cloud it, as I say, with religious structure and thought, because although well-meaning and trying to explain in its own way the structures of how faith can bring us together, that may be all well and good, and I don't disagree with it, except for the fact that it usually brings about far more incantations of division and urgency of one overpowering another in order to preserve self than actually coming closer to God. In actual fact, if you as a physical being blended with your spirit in absolute perfection, not trying to make people believe that there is nothing wrong, not trying to make people believe that it's all right, everything will come right in the end, because believe it or not, you actually have to take responsibility for what you do and for how you organize your life so that you can become in alignment with your spirit. The structure of the universe dictates that when spirit are having a physical existence, spirit is not in the physical world. For spirit is inherently within their own dimension, as I am. And I can quite easily see all of your spirits still here, still in the spirit world, the millions and trillions of them, all mixing with, actually, those on our side of life, who are still here. So we're all still here, really. And the situation of what you're experiencing as a physical being is merely just that. It's a physical state. And what you will bring about in trying to come to terms with that is not offensive, is in fact that you bring yourself into alignment, your physical state into alignment with your spirit. Why? Because your spirit is that part which is closer to God than you are, because you're a physical being, and a physical being is inherently judgmental, makes poor judgment, makes errant calls to their own self and to the well-being of others. That's what physical beings do. And your job, your duty of care is to realize this fact of life so that you may repair your life so that you can once again be at one with your beautiful spirit. This is the energy of reason. This is the energy of truth. We are here not to disseminate some sort of mystical jargon, but we are here to bring you the truth. You may feel poor of mind because you are unhappy. People are unhappy because they are not in the state of bliss. When they are reminded of the state of bliss between that which is of a negative energy and that which is of a pure love, we are then reminded of the core of our reasoning, which is to be a physical embodiment of our spirit. And for most people in their physical life, they neglect it. They do not act or react as their spirit would want them to. And what this then leaves is a gap between simply what your spirit is and what your physical mind, body, has related to, what its decisions has made you move away from your spirit and for your vibration to be less. So when we look at the structure of the universe, we also have to understand our own inner structure, our own inner mind, how it may be that we can organize the cells of thought, the partitions of thought, because thoughts are living things. They enable us to live, to lift our hearts and our consciousness and become at one with our spirit. Seeking the whole enables life to become completed. Therefore, you return to that which you aspire God to be. It is not something that takes many lifetimes, contrary to belief. It is something which is actionable now. It's only your will that allows you to forget this. It's only your lack of principle that allows you and your behavior to fall short of what you truly should be. That doesn't mean to say you failed and then you just immerse yourself in intense negativity. What it does mean is that you try harder, that you are more diligent with your thoughts and your intention, so that you may drive a greater wedge between the physical world that you live in and the negative aspirations it produces to the beautiful world that you can create yourself and the beauty that you may create within that relationship of physical state and spirit. When we try to answer situations to do with the structure of the universe, it always comes back to the structure of self, what you see your purpose in life to be, and how you see your quest, either to succumb to failure or to be enriched, not by poverty, not by learning lessons. That's a fallacy too. You're not here to learn lessons. Whoever told you that? You are here to understand you can be beautiful regardless of what others may see of you on the outside, regardless of what your makeup may be. You may look at a possum more. Perhaps some other creature who lives at night, a bat or whatever, and that you actually have great dissatisfaction about that being's, that creature's mode of life, or the connotations and emotions that come about because of that creature's existence, and how the mythological situation that has evolved throughout ancestral knowledge and understanding has actually tainted your view. Yet have you ever asked a possum or a bat what their true view is? Have you ever linked with one, blended with your energy, with that of any other creature, to truly see and define what energy and nature that creature is? And its will to express itself as that part of God, which it surely is. It is all but expressing its spirit, yes, and instinct too, I know that, all from the semblance and the creation of its molecular structure and its cellular DNA, the ancestry then, and the mutations of many millions of years that have made it what it is today. Exactly the same, in a sense, to the structure of human beings and what has made them. Yet the structure of the universe does not dictate, oh, you must be this or you must be that. It's the environment which allows different beings and species to mutate in order to fit into that environment so that they may enjoy food and create further life in their name, in their likeness and honor. This, friends, is a part of the structure of universe that you have to identify within yourself and your behavior to other animals and one another. For when you behave dishonorably to some other creature, you are doing so to yourself. Always remember that.
Okay, well, that was a good start, Gregory. You mentioned that about the lessons, learning lessons, but we do learn lessons regardless, don't we? I mean, I know,
yes,
what you're saying.
I know that.
We do learn lessons here,
yes,
because that's how we progress, hopefully, that we do something.
Well, one would think so. Yes. At least that's generally, however, what I'm saying is it's generally what you would like to think. Many people will tout the fact that you have to have thousands and thousands of past lives in order to progress. But I don't actually see any physical evidence upon the planet within any one life that they have done such a thing, because they have clearly not progressed.
Yes.
because they're still behaving with egos as big as trains, or they're still behaving with a sanctimonious feeling about their whole right to be.
Okay.
So I feel that the situation is, in a sense, moot, because when you look at how a person is evolving, what is it that's actually the lesson? Is it to do with your mistakes? You can only truly say that you've learned lessons from mistakes if you alter your behavior, so you no longer carry out the same behavior. And that is purely a physical instinctive path, because mistakes bring you to the edge of danger, bring you to the possibility of cutting short your physical life, therefore curtailing your chance or your opportunity to continue your DNA cycle and your ancestry. This then comes back to the whole situation of what we're saying when we talk about the whole situation of species and instinct, and how it is that physical beings have to keep track, have to keep 2 feet on the ground, really, about the whole aspiration of what they think they are, and why it is that they're actually having a physical life. It is not at all to learn lessons. That's a fallacy.
So what are we here for?
To express life in a physical form for the benefit of your spirit, so what is the benefit of your spirit if it's not to learn lessons? It is to be as a silent witness, if you like, which would rather that you, as a physical being, joined with it and blessed with it and acknowledged that beautiful spirit part of yourself, quite simply because if you did that, you would not have the lessons to learn, because you would be thinking in terms of right practice all the time. And then you would not be erring into the states of wilderness and misbehavior and anger and resentment and lust and all of those situations which actually drive people round the twist.
Yes, well, it sounds more like a test to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, quite so.
Absolutely.
But the other point I have to make as well is to do with the fact that all of the others in your soul group, who you are a part of that loving energy, are also a witness to your life. So it means to say that all of the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of beings who are a witness to your life at this very moment, everything that you do. And yet, when you come to your analysis of what you think you are, you perhaps do not perceive of yourself as being a part of this all-enveloping and loving energy.
But we can't even perceive of our own, shall we say, goodness or badness a lot of the time. You know, if I was to say to you, tell me something that you think is really good about me, and you told me that, chances are I wouldn't actually recognize that person.
Yes, I understand. But my dear friend, but that is a different situation. That is because human beings, physical beings, tend to be willful about their practice of life, and their own misgivings are not something very often which are rational, quite simply because many people's misgivings are actually due to other people's thoughts upon you, other people's decisions, other people's lack of courage, or perhaps to do with their way of thinking is different to yours, and therefore they think that the way that you think is completely errant. You see, that is a matter of their own opinion, their judgment. They, however, I am not here to place a judgment upon you, because I couldn't dream to do that. And that is not my place.
Well, you can tell me something nice about myself, if you like, Gregory.
My friend, the list is too long.
Oh, very good. Flattery will get you everywhere. But, I mean, you know, the thing is, okay, we're here to love, presumably, then, and conditionally,
yes,
and all the rest of it.
And to find the self.
And to find ourselves, yeah, which, you know, actually we had before we came here. Hello?
Yes, yes, that's the primary cause, really.
So it is a bit of a test, then, isn't it?
Well, it's only a test, in a sense, of the situation of all of the other people. in your life and what perhaps they place upon you. But in actual fact, I suppose it's like looking at the proverbial hermit who lives in a cage, and all that they can do, all that he or she can do all day long is meditate and be in a state of bliss. Is it to say that hermit is being truthful to self by not actually partaking in life, by not communicating with other people, therefore communicating and maybe then bringing up the issues of mind and decision, and yes, the credulous judgment, so that articles of what you think and feel and sense within a self become, in effect, sometimes mirrored or sometimes blurred, quite simply because you are dependent as a physical being, or you become dependent as a physical being, should I say, on the judgments of other people to perhaps verify whether you're a nice person or not, or verify whether the words coming out of the mouth are loving and kind and generous, or whether they are there merely to create violence or mayhem. This, of course, is a situation that you're facing at this time. And you're facing these situations at this time quite simply because humanity has very many situations of earlier history, of early recent times, in fact, which have brought about these sets of situations. It is not good enough to say that certain situations upon the planet were not actually created because of the behavior of other people many years ago. Because clearly, for example, what you are reaping now is in fact a situation of many, many divisions which had been both religious and ancestral and completely at will with certain specific tribes. And this then is coming to fruition because there are different motives for people to exist and to exert their own division, their own truth, if you like. But that's because they're not actually listening to God. They're only listening to their version of it, you see. And by doing that, they are not coming into contact with the universe or the structure of it, but they're creating their own little island, not of peace, but their own little island of where rules and power become affected by the ordinance of man.
I was just going to say, I think it would be really good if we could find a different word for God.
Og.
Og. Okay, that'll do. If you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, you're listening to Spirit's Work and Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and the number to call is, it's a toll-free number in the USA, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222, but that's not toll-free. Okay, I mean, the thing is, we all know that it's a lot easier if you're living in a place, in an area of harmony and beauty.
Of course.
To discover your spirit and to be more spiritual and in tune with your higher self.
I completely agree, yes.
So, the thing is, it's sort of, what would be the population as it is at the moment? I can't see it getting any easier. With negativity breeding negativity, again, you know, it's a lot easier to be positive and connected when you are not surrounded by such negativity.
Yes, absolutely so. As you rightly say, friend, certain sections of population, particularly if they are living in a some sort of inner city area or something like that, where there is desperation of poverty of mind and that kind of situation, a bleak outlook perhaps on life, if it is that this group of people only have a specific situation released to them of value, which is that they are to have no power, which is that they are to think little or nothing of themselves, but actually to put all love into something else. That means they're devoid of love. If, however, people can rather identify with the peace and creation which they can find within a self, rather than filling it with rubbish or with filling it with some other ideology, you can actually have those ideologies if you wish a bit. But it doesn't mean to say that it has to completely orchestrate every sentiment of your life, because in that case, it often leads human beings to fail to come into this perfect balance of self and actually speak for and as their spirit.
Well, yes, but I mean, if you're surrounded by negativity, and okay, you can go within, if you can create a space in your home or whatever, but your auric field is still carrying all of this negativity from, your life.
Yes, I completely agree with you.
So it's almost like it's a luck of the draw a lot of the time. Sometimes, okay, maybe people might get back to the spirit world after having a life on Earth, having maybe connected and feel that like they have evolved slightly more. I know it's a weird way of putting it, but that may be because they didn't have so many hurdles to cross and dilemmas to face in doing that.
Yes, so, or even self-made barriers, yes.
Yeah, so, it is the luck of the draw, a lot of this, isn't it, really?
Yes, you cannot move away from the fact that the stratas of civilization are making it so that it's all very well for some within a given strata to say, oh yes, I've had a very nice life, thank you very much, and I move and have my life, and then I return back to the spirit world, not necessarily any the wiser. However, that, of course, is the opinion of those in judgment of that being. You can never say, as I always say, if you are looking at the child who lasts but 3 days, who is to say that child must come back and have another physical life because they didn't enjoy the last one, or because they had to significantly overcome some problem from a previous life, and that was the reason why they were only kept for 3 days, which, of course, is a complete travesty of fact, purely and simply because that is a judgment that physical people place upon one another to justify that it's quite all right to allow such a situation to develop and to continue to happen within their midst, within their ancestry. They would be appalled that, for example, others from my time of life in the early 1700s, that we are in fact appalled that still 300 years later you are no better off, that you have not actually eradicated the travesties of racial hatred that exist, the travesties of behavior toward the environment, which we had actually begun all those centuries ago.
Well, I think it's escalated in other ways, hasn't it? I mean, there are light workers like on BBS Radio.
Yes, of course.
And that sort of thing on the planet now that are doing good and trying to create.
Yes,
peace on Earth in their
absolutely
own way.
So
that's different for a start.
That is, of course, very different.
But on the other hand, would they that sort of person have been around in those days, but just didn't have the method of being able to do anything about it?
No, well, I have to say, in fact, that many either became witches or whatever, and many also became clergy and monks. Many became monks. And people of medicine. After all, isn't that what a witch really is? A person of medicine, of ancient craft of the earth. So we are looking then at hundreds and thousands of years of the destiny of humanity that has followed the simple ways of how humanity can actually make itself better. And it's interesting to note, friend, that the greatest way that even a person living in a poor, deprived area may make themselves better is to practice the art of self-healing. This is a simple situation which can be born and brought about by any single being on the planet, and they don't have to interact with anyone else at all.
Okay, well, that will be helpful.
So this is a situation then that you can and should carry out yourself. However, I stress to begin with, there must be caution, simply because what I'm about to tell you means that you must do this in safety. So what you will need to provide is 4 candles, or we suggest that you use tea lights, which is the modern situation of a small candle which is available, I understand, very cheaply, and that you can place it upon a flat surface like a saucer, because each of these candles you are going to place on a saucer or some other vessel flat upon the floor, so that you do not set fire to it or anything like that, and you're going to place 4 of them in an arc around a straight-backed chair. And then what you will do is you will place 1 at the front of the chair, about 2.5 feet away. You will place another 1 at the back of the chair, about 2.5 feet away. And you will light them in sequence, beginning with the 1 in the front, and then revolving round in a clockwise direction as you light them. The 2nd candle then you will place to your left, to your right, as you would be sitting with the candles around you. You would then place the next 1 behind the chair at equidistance. You will place the last 1 to the left side of the chair, as if you were sitting on it. And then you will say the simple prayer to my highest guides and helper, second to none. Bless me, keep me safe at this time that I sit, knowing that all that is said, done, heard, felt, and sensed in any way, and that I ask for healing at this time of my highest guides and helpers, that the spirit world may bathe me with love, that the healing energies of love of my beautiful spirit may come to rest with me, may come to motivate me to the rightful path of my birthright, that which I am. Now at present may I be undone to become something so much more that I wish to be. Then you will simply sit down upon the chair, take a few sips of water from a glass prepared earlier, place it by the side of you, and then simply let go of your conscious thoughts and your feelings. Let go of them for just 20 minutes. That is all that you need to do. And it doesn't matter if there is music blaring on outside. It doesn't matter if there is street traffic or passing trains. It doesn't matter if your windows rattle with the sounds of other people's activities in your neighborhood. For what you can do is close your eyes and let go of your conscious thoughts. This may not happen to start with, and it may well be that you're still aware of the banging or whatever noise or activity it is outside of yourself. But gradually, as you let go of your thoughts one by one, you may come upon a different situation of conscious activity that is still and quiet and at peace. By creating this situation for yourself, you are altering your destiny, and you are gaining healing from the spirit world to raise your vibration so that you may meet with your spirit. The structure of the universe opens its doorway to you. When you do this, when you create this new pattern in your life, it enables you to bless yourself, to understand the path you walk is one of beauty. The fact that you perhaps may think in terms of a negative person is something that you need to be healed from. So you are going to sit for a little while in absolute peace and just drift. Just let your mind go. The less attraction that you pay to your thoughts, the further away your consciousness will become, and you may find your island of peace at last. I say that we just want you to sit for 20 minutes, quite simply because you will become bored if you don't. And you sit for longer, and you struggle with it, you itch and you scratch, and you twiddle your fingers or thumbs, or you twiddle with your mind, and the thoughts that come there. And when it's time to bring you back, the spirit world will bring you back. Because you say, at the beginning, I will sit just for 20 minutes in this healing, and this is the healing ring of light. And it will help you to access those vibrations to do with extending your present limitations to the structures of the universe. It will extend those limitations by raising your vibration and allowing you to be differently focused within your life.
And it's when the spirit and the consciousness are in perfect harmony that the spirit has greater access to other realms and dimensions, isn't it? I mean, and that
yes.
is true of when we are in the physical and also when we are in the spirit world as pure spirit.
Yes, that is true. Absolutely true, yes.
So it's almost like homework as well, so you're not only getting a healing in this healing ring of light, you are also getting the benefit of the meditation aspect of it as well.
Yes, and as you say, and the homework, so that it means that you will actually become in touch with the rest of the universe by this method. It will only be a matter of time. And because of the fact that you're not sitting for hours and hours meditating, it's not actually wasting your day. You're being very constructive about your purpose, very constructive about your well-being. You're asking for healing, perhaps on a regular basis, maybe even once a day. But that's really what you should do. Sit for healing once a day. To balance yourself, to become in equilibrium, yes. But also to be a part, once again, of the universal structure. As you are. As your spirit is. There it is. You have this physical life, but your spirit somewhere else. You're not really in connection with it unless you make effort to do so. Yeah, I know. You may look at certain people and say, but they don't make effort to be in touch with their spirit. Don't forget, friend, you might actually know of a medium, friend, or something like that, and they may not actually practice meditation at all. Just because a person is a medium or psychic doesn't necessarily mean to say that they're in any way ascended or any way different from you. That it really is a matter of opinion and their own inner judgment as to whether they may psychically link with that as being a fact or not.
Well, pretty much anybody can be a medium, can't they?
Well, everyone is. Really?
Yes, I mean, exactly. And definitely everybody's got a gift because of all of the hundreds and hundreds of Akashic readings that we've done. You part of your Akashic reading is that you will find out what gifts of spirit and spirituality you actually have.
Yes, and as you say, rightly
so. There has not been anybody yet that hasn't got a gift.
No, of course not, because there is no physical being alive upon the planet today who does not have a gift of spirit, because everyone is spirit. Therefore, you must have a gift of spirit, because every spirit is a part of God. Therefore, it stands to reason. It's only logical, after all. So, for those people who perhaps glory in the fact that a medium maybe has always had this gift from birth. What I'm actually telling you here is that everyone has always had this gift from birth. It's just that the rest of you haven't seen it. That's all it is. That is all it is.
Yes, you haven't seen it, or you develop at different rates, and that is absolutely fine too.
Yes, absolutely so. Of course it is.
So, we've only got about 4 minutes left. So what happens at the end of this healing ring of light? Do they say a prayer of a closing?
Yes, of course.
Of protection,
yes.
That sort of thing?
Yes, absolutely so, yes. So you would say, dear Spirit, well, thank you very much for being with us. Thank you very much for allowing me to have some healing and connection with my spirit. Thank you very much for bringing your presence. Maybe I felt it, maybe I didn't. You might add to this some welcoming and thankfulness for the love that they have shown to you. And that you may also close with Amen, if you wish. You may not, if you don't want to. It's not something that you have to do. We're not here looking for you to make some trial of dedication or whatever. Except for the trial of yourself, to dedicate yourself to this new life purpose, to finding your gifts of spirit. Everyone has gifts of spirit. It's not just me telling you, but it's for you to find it. It is for you to seek the doorway to the universal structure of all things.
And even if you don't want to actually physically develop any gifts of spirit to become mediumistic, being in tune with your spirit and being, in tune with your higher consciousness that will be developed through these meditations, this will help you during your life, just your everyday physical life.
Yes, to help make you a better person. Wouldn't you want to do that?
And to become more intuitive about making the right decisions. Choosing the right pathway, knowing instinctively what is the best move for you, whether you should turn away from something or not, or take something on board.
Yes, absolutely so. It's accessing that situation. And don't forget, friend, that I'm not saying here that you are going to suddenly hear voices or whatever in your head or outside of you, or that you're going to be poked and prodded or whatever. I'm just asking you to bring about a simple practice for yourself, which is elementary. Yes, of course it is. Even some of the greatest mediums do not practice what they preach, do not live by the codes of respect and honor for all beings.
Well, the thing is, if you are doing this healing ring of light to eradicate the negativity in your auric field and just generally have healing to make you feel better and more uplifted, more positive, that is exactly what it will do on a regular basis. If you do this, you will become a far more positive person, a happy person, without the weight of this carrying around in your auric field. It's quite incredible how different and how light you will feel.
Yes, absolutely so. Then it is with blessings and love, my dear friend, that we leave you at this time, and we thank you so much for allowing us to speak at this time with love and light, dear friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Gregory. So we hope you've enjoyed the show. If you'd like to mention our spirit-teaching website, do join us, and do join us again on Monday for our next show. So it's Mondays and Thursdays we have Spirit's Work Show. And my name is Sylvie Avery, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goals, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.